Support for KSJD's streaming comes from Osprey PAX, independent since 1974, setting the standard for creating and producing innovative, high-quality, caring equipment designed to inspire and ease your journey. Osprey PAX is committed to the local communities where it operates and to protecting the wild places its customers love to explore. For more information, visit OspreyPAX.com.
This is Canyon Chronicles, where we talk about archaeology, history, and the cultures of this place. I'm Mike Woodrow, and I'll be your host this morning. Our guest today is Donna Glowacki. Donna is an archaeologist and anthropologist. She is assistant professor of anthropology at Notre Dame and research associate at Crow Canyon Archaeological Center in Cortez, where she has served or continues to serve as director or co-director of several community research projects for Crow Canyon and Mesa Verde National Park. She's an expert in community and village development and a leading authority on the processes which led to and unfolded during the extraordinary depopulation of the northern San Juan region from roughly 1150 to 1300 AD. Dr. Glowacki is an author of a large body of scholarly work, serving as co-editor of The Religious Transformation in the Late Prehistoric Pueblo World, a collection of essays dealing with Pueblo societies and ideology before, during, and after the abandonment of the Mesa Verde region. She's contributed book chapters and a substantial body of articles to professional journals and organizations, and this year she published her newest book, Living and Leaving, A Social History of Regional Depopulation in 13th Century Mesa Verde. Morning, Donna.
Good morning, Mike.
Let's get right to it.
Okay.
Last year, there were just shy of 500,000 visitors to Mesa Verde. And many of those people see what they see and can begin to imagine what it took to make those places what they are. And a question that we see here over and over again is, why'd they leave? Normally, the kind of response we get deals with bad environment, or there's warfare, or big drought, or invaders. But we hardly ever talk about this extraordinary activity in terms of what made it possible for people to leave this place. And the social structure and ideology of these people that had to change. I'd like to talk about those things today. When you first, I know your specialty is trying to understand and share with us the religious, cultural, and ideological underpinnings of these societies. What do you see in the material culture and other archaeology that helps you see that there were significant transitions?
Okay, well, as an archaeologist, you're left with the material record, and so what you want to look for are the ways in which people were living and how those organizations were altered. And a lot of that can be seen in architecture and the kinds of buildings that are being shared amongst people in the same village, the way that the villages are organized, the kinds of pottery that they have, and how things changed. And so one of the things that is most striking to me about what happened here in the Four Corners region with the Pueblo people is that you know, it didn't matter where you lived in the Four Corners, whether you lived in southeast, what we call southeast Utah today, where it's really dry and the canyons have a very different character and are very rugged, or if you lived here, sort of in the heartland, where maybe agriculture was a little bit easier, everybody across an area that was 20,000 kilometers square, left, and their lived experiences were very, very different. And so people were very interconnected in a number of ways, but they were also, their own personal lived experiences varied greatly. And so that was something that I really wanted to pursue. And so depending on where you lived, you had different reasons for being able to leave or deciding that leaving is the best option for you.
In order to leave, what were the things that you would hope would be in place to enable your migration or immigration from this place to some other place? That's about 19,000 people or so that did that over a year and a half, 150 years?
Oh, in terms of the number of people who were leaving, it really depends on what area you're thinking of. If you're thinking of the Mesa Verde Core area, so that would include like the Mesa Verde Cuesta, where Mesa Verde National Park is, or the McElmo area where we have Canyon of the Ancients. That core area, some of the population estimates suggest that about 25,000 people were leaving. But if you expand that to include the entire northern San Juan, which would include parts of northwest New Mexico where Aztec is, and then going all the way west into southeast Utah, it may have been as many as 40,000 people who were leaving. So the kinds of things that you'd like to be in place when you're leaving are, you know, having some information about where you might go, maybe having some connections about the places that might be more ideal. And so those are some key aspects. But then you also have the circumstances of where you're living and why you might go. And for some people, it might have been a voluntary decision. It's like, you know, things are a bit rough here. We know that, you know, they're doing better further south in, you know, some part of New Mexico. So they might want to go. They might just decide it would be better to go. But other people were probably forced out and had to go because of conflict and changing ideologies.
And in your most recent book, you talk about how this is really very few, if ever, repeated in other parts of world history, about this kind of depopulation, that it's a fairly unique and uncommon experience for this to happen at this level.
I think in, you know, people are moving all the time and people are migrating, and we're seeing lots of migration happening today in the context of Syria and the war that's happening there and people needing to flee for security. So large-scale migrations aren't that unusual, but what's really striking about what happened here is that all of the people, the Pueblo people who were living in the region, decided to leave. And they also, when they moved, there were major changes in Pueblo society that happened. And so when people were living here, there was a different kind of social structure in terms of the way the system was organized. And so there was a more political hierarchy. So really, a part of why people left has to do with the systemic political collapse of their system, which is very intrinsically based in their religious ideologies.
We'll be back in just a moment to continue talking with Donna. This is KSJD and Canyon Chronicles. I'm Mike Woodrow. And we're back. This is Mike Woodrow, and we're having a nice conversation with Donna Glowacki. Donna, in order to understand some of the cultural changes, I think it's important for our listeners to remember how integral religion was to the life of the Puebloan people.
Yeah, of course. Religion, one of the key aspects of it all, though, is that, you know, many of us tend to have a stronger separation between religion and government and politics. But for Pueblo people and many other religions, there is no separation. It's all the same thing. And so the kinds of organizations that we can see in the archaeological record, buildings like great kivas and great houses and these multi-walled structures that are that have a kiva and then are surrounded by a ring or two of rooms, either in a circular form or a D-shaped form, all of these structures have to do with how their society was organized, and all of that was very intrinsically religiously based.
So, in addition to the religious piece of it, the processes and rituals would determine who you could marry and where you could live and when you grew crops, and basically everything about the way your life was organized had a religious context or environment in which it lived.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And things that we might think of as sort of everyday tasks are also part of this ritualized and religious aspect. So things like grinding corn.
You mentioned in your book that kind of this emigration out of this area was a continuation of the migrations in Puebloan life. But there was a sea change in the way the Puebloans thought about their world, their religion, their relationships, everything about who they were and their core ideologies. How did that change become possible? What drove this new balance, this new set of things?
Yeah, that's a really important question. I think in order to address that, I've got to back up a little bit historically and really talk a little bit more about what happened here, because when they moved and then also started to mix with and resettle in places where there were already Pueblo people, they were reacting to some of the things that had been in their own personal experiences. So what happened, especially here in the eastern part of the Mesa Verde region, is, as I said earlier, it was a systemic collapse. And so you have big centers like Aztec, places like Yellow Jacket, Pueblo, Goodman Point, Pueblo. These places were much, much larger than many of the other villages that that were here. And then there were some other villages that were larger. So, you know, thinking of places where you have like 600 people who are living, something like that. And then you have these large sites, these aggregated villages that sometimes we call community centers that have public architecture. And some of these places have, you know, in terms of the numbers of people, between 50 and 500 people or so. So you have different villages that have these public architectures. They're also different sizes. And then you have smaller and medium-sized pueblos. So it seems like there was a very complicated and diverse array of villages, and there was probably lots of different alliances and confederacies, and there was political integration, and there was differences in how connected people were maybe to some of the largest centers like Aztec. And so when there was in the mid-1100s, the drought that happened then was much worse than the drought that we talk about a lot at the end of the 1200s as causing, quote-unquote, the collapse of the Mesa Verde society. And after that drought, there were lots of changes that happened. People started trying to live in locations that were more connected to water, on canyon rim settings. There was also aggregation, so villages got larger and larger in this particular area. They also got closer and closer together, so that changed the relationships among the different villages. And then you saw people either trying to connect or not to these ideologies that had been long held that were based on Chaco and Aztec. And so at Aztec, you see a new building that gets built, and I talked about that a little bit earlier, these multi-walled structures that were probably being used by specific people, religious leaders, clan leaders, they were exclusive architecture. So you see these new circular buildings appearing, and then you also see them at some of the other large villages in this area. But then you also see some of the villages, like places like San Canyon Pueblo, where they make D-shaped structures that are sort of similar, but they're different. And that suggests to me that there were different ideas about how people wanted to be organized, what their beliefs were, and whether or not they were still very connected to Aztec. And I think there was disagreement about, what to do and how connected they wanted to be. And there was basically a splintering of a faction factions that developed that were very different. And there was a lot of conflict. I think this landscape at that time had quite a lot of conflict. And so when that was a major impetus for people leaving, and when they left, they wanted to do things differently. And I think what's really amazing about what happens and with Pueblo people today is that they were willing to make the really big changes that they needed in their society to create more more cooperative and a different lifestyle, and they exist today.
What are a couple things that, when lost, change and make it impossible to recover the life you had before them?
I think the Pueblo people, I think, who were living here, there was, if you have people who had specific ritual knowledge, and when they left, they weren't here. They weren't going to be able to go back to those rituals if they didn't have the people who had the knowledge to make that possible.
One last question before we close: the center will not hold. Are there inferences we can draw from the experiences of the Pueblo people here that might map to our society today?
I think first of all, it's really important to understand how interconnected we all are. We're interconnected with our environment, our natural environment, and with each other. And the kinds of changes and reorganizations that happen and decisions that we make affect everybody. And that's really why everybody in this area had to leave, because they were so interconnected.
So to maintain that is life requiring.
Right.
All right. I would like, at this moment, are you going to be speaking at Crow Canyon Culture Fest as a featured speaker on October 17th?
Yes.
And if folks would like to learn more about that, they can go to the Crow Canyon website. And as it relates to your new book, the book is Living and Leaving, Social History of Regional Depopulation, 13th Century Mesa Verde. That's available from University of Arizona and Amazon?
Yes, it sure is.
Wonderful. Well, I'd like to close by thanking our special guest for talking with us today. Of course, I want to thank you, the listeners of KSJD and Canyon Chronicles. Without you, we wouldn't be here, and for you and the community. I want to thank Southwest Colorado Canyons Alliance for their support of Canyon Chronicles. This is Mike Woodrow. Until next time.